and welcome to a live broadcast of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans coming to you live from the Way Station, located in picturesque Prospect Heights. Yes. As you can hear from the ambient noise and the hiss, we are not in my living room. We are in a bar called the Way Station. Dare I say, Mark's second living room. So, Mark.
Yes.
I know I've had a lot of fun here, but you basically put the reg in regular as far as this place goes.
Right.
So, why don't you tell everybody, you know, what this wonderful place is all about?
Oh, well.
You didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Captain Jack.
Yes. Well, the Way Station is this wonderful bar. The proprietor, Andy, opened this bar about, I would say, you're talking 7 years
ago. Why don't you ask him? He's standing right there.
Six years ago. Yes, Andy is in the house.
Yes.
He opened this bar 6 years ago. The rumor mill went out that there was a bar somewhere in New York with a TARDIS.
Yes.
That had landed in the bar, and we had feverishly tried to figure out where it was until one day I almost crashed my car because I looked out the window at the stoplight and was like, that's the bar. And I stumbled in here, and this was a place where I was coming to basically write. It was a quiet space for me, and it's no longer quiet because after 6 years, this is sort of like the nerd safe haven.
Right.
That TARDIS drew us all here, and all kind of artists, musicians, you name it, have come through this place, and it's a really, really wonderful bar, and kudos to Andy for opening this fantastic space. Because we don't have a lot of these kind of spaces in New York, and it's just a unique...
Well, definitely not in Brooklyn, no.
No.
Thank you, Andy.
Yes, I gotta admit, Nerd Safe Haven is definitely a good description from the few times that this is one of the few bars that I would walk in, and I would not be surprised to see the Cantina Band from Tatooine up here on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're up here on stage.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
you've actually been up here a few times. Like I said, this is like your second home, but
yes.
This would be a first for me, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, here we are, and of course we thank you guys for hosting us and having us here. This is a very lovely thing. So real quick, Mark, you have had, leading up to this, you've had quite the week.
Yes.
Speaking of you being on stage, so there was a little something that happened at the Ta-Da Theater.
Ta-Da!
Ta-Da!
My second one-man show.
That's right.
It was one hell of an experience. It was called Love African American Style.
That's right.
And you should know because you directed it.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Steven. Mark and Steve. And so it was a good turnout.
Yeah.
I was happy with the show. Now it's just a question of where to take it from there.
Right. I am actually looking forward to two more shots at it.
Yes.
If we can pull that off. But yeah, definitely.
I have a question. What was it like directing Mark Abbott?
Mark is actually, well.
The dirt comes out.
There's no dirt, really. Look, here's the thing. He had been workshopping the show for a little bit. And I happened to be working really early. One day that he was workshopping it, I happened to be working really early. It didn't make any sense for me to leave Manhattan and then come back to Brooklyn and come back. So I was like, all right, so what time are you getting here? And he was actually going to the theater fairly early to, suss out some things and, get used to the stage or whatever. So my plan was to go with him to the theater, take a nap, and then he started the show, just go, okay, yeah, all right, let's do this. But he ended up having so many technical difficulties that my nap went away. And, so then, I kind of got involved in helping in it. And then afterward, we were talking about it, and he asked me for, some suggestions. And then when I got a little too carried away with the suggestions, I think his exact words to me were something to the effect of, well, do you just want to direct the thing, motherfucker? And I thought about it.
That's how you get hired in Brooklyn.
Yeah, basically. and that's basically what happened. And after that, we worked on it for a few days, a few weeks rather, in my living room, either before or after we would record Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans.
Yeah.
And, you know, we ran through some paces. I made basic suggestions and how he would carry himself through the performance. I kind of decided on lighting cues and slides, and I had my good friend Julian DeArmas take over the manufacturing, the photoshopping, and, you know, making sure that the slides were of a certain caliber. And then we did the damn thing, and, you know, and he did an amazing job. And basically, you know, when you're in the booth like that, my job as a director in that kind of a scenario is, you know, I'm just following the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he gets to a certain part of the script, I make certain things happen in accordance with that. So it's a great experience, actually.
It was a great show. Thank you. As someone who's sitting outside and experiencing this, it was a, I guess, you know, I didn't realize you were a really good guy. I thought you were talent. But no, you're actually, you know, it was great. It was actually, I really enjoyed the insight you had in terms of these things that happened in your life concerning your relationships with women,
right?
And how you view your, for lack of a better term, as a friend would say, your way of being. Your way of being is golden.
Thank you.
And how you dealt with, you know, how you go through life. You know, it's an insightful and beautiful voice. I'm really looking forward to seeing some more.
For those of you who are just completely curious as to what this, the whole show is about, it's a journey from my college years to the point of the birth of my daughter, about the relationships with three different women that led up to the person I am today.
To all
and
the girls he's loved before. That's right, and out his door. I'm sorry.
See, this is why. This is why this show is the way it is. but it was it's truly a labor of love, and it's something that I worked on for quite a while. And dare say my wife was in the audience to see it. So, you know. That too was on my mind as I'm going down
that
road.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I was curious about this, and it actually during the Q&A, I was actually a little worried for you. How much prep did you give your wife?
Not much. I mean, here's the thing. I told her. Basically, it starts off with me in college, then it's about the first woman I ever slept with. I said, and then it transitioned into the story about how you and I got together. And she seemed to be more focused on the story about how she and I got together than anything else. The rest of it kind of melted away, and she's like, really? So I wasn't worried about it because
okay.
It's not something like...
And you guys have been together for a while,
yeah.
So
it was a classic piece.
Yeah,
it was classic.
Yeah.
It didn't get bawdy. It didn't get dirty. It was just classic.
Which is funny because there was one woman in the audience that thought you were about to tell like some old crazy sex show.
Right.
Because I had a bed on the stage.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You did have a bed on the stage.
Yeah, but you were by yourself.
Yeah.
You take what's in there. We had a bed, not a pole.
You open that door, man. You know
like,
what you can do on
the
bed by
yourself. This is New York City. You know people got all kinds of shows.
It's New York City 2017, not New York City.
You should have a pole next time.
That's to fake people out, right?
They so great.
People coming in, Mark is stripping.
Mark on the clap. clapping it.
Coming to the main stage. Coming to the main stage right now. Mark, coming to the main stage. Ladies, get those singles out.
Hey, you directed this, so.
right.
There's a whole other conversation.
Hey.
You know what? Yeah, you have a great point. Yeah. You know, see, you directing it. I thought, classy ass.
Oh, because. Oh.
The stripping monk. Directed by Steve.
My might need another star for that. Somebody with, somebody with actual stripper pole experience. Mm. And ladies, I will be holding auditions. All right.
You knew that was coming.
That's what she said. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mark, another quick thing about you. So, you are racking up the acting award nominations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, dude, like, who are your inspirations? Denzel, Olivier,
Marlon Brando.
Look what I ask of my boy.
Orlando Bloom.
Well, Legolas is a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm saying,
up front, you know.
I would have to say it's my rent that inspired me. If I don't pay that, I got to do something to bring some extra cash in.
All right, okay.
No, you know what? It was this film that I've been. This is my second nomination for the film Impervia.
Yeah.
Which
I saw, and which is actually really, 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 really good.
And this was not expected. This was just something, the guy liked my performance in some pieces that he worked with me on. And I literally did not go into this going, oh, you know what, maybe I should knock this out of the box so I can win some awards. I never thought about that.
Right.
And I mean, I just love film. I love doing storytelling. So I just put the two together, and it's really not something that I thought about. I'm actually humbled by all of this because it's not something that I would have ever thought in 1,000 years I would be segueing into. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next week.
Yes.
They're showing it at the New Jersey Horror Con, which my short film Snap is also playing there.
Nice.
So
exactly, yeah.
So I've got a heavy weekend next weekend. So, but I don't even know if I could even say I had any actors. No, I'll tell you who I always wanted to be since I was a kid. Steely Dan over here is gonna laugh, but I literally, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Roy Scheider.
Yes.
Rolling Thunder.
Blue Thunder was a good ass movie, though.
I actually like Rolling Thunder, but
I was a huge Roy Scheider fan when I was a kid. I saw Jaws, and he was.
Wasn't he in Marathon Man too?
No. Yes, he was.
He was
in Marathon Man. He was in Jaws. He was
all
in
jazz.
All that jazz.
Right.
The 7-Ups, which is one of my favorite cop movies.
Yeah.
The French Connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Roy's been in all The Punisher.
Wait. You gotta go back someplace.
What?
Roy Scheider. All That Jazz. That was Fosse, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Are you gonna do a Fosse pose?
You know what? I'm not even. I can't even look in this direction right now.
Don't. I'm kind of forced to. I gotta tell you, it's like 7th level of hell. It really is. All right, but then congratulations.
Thank
again.
You. Yes.
You know, that's really so great.
Thank you, Mark.
You are a hell of a guy. All right. Speaking of hell. I'm sorry. I'm skipping something. Kirk.
Mm.
Since we're out in public,
yes,
with microphones in our faces, why don't you, for a hot second,
or a hot minute,
talk about what's going on lately with you and New York State, the New York State chapter of...
State of Black Science Fiction.
State of Black Science Fiction.
Okay, that is a group on Facebook that me and my lady started up with the okay from the original group. The original guys, Milton Davis and Balagoon. Jonte from Atlanta started this State of Black Science Fiction, and they started as kind of like a, for lack of a better term, a safe space for promoting and discussing the science fiction, fantasy, and horror by people of the African diaspora. So you know, you ever wondered, like, you know, is any horror coming out of the Caribbean? Go to that page, you'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
Any science fiction coming out of South Africa or Nigeria, go to that page and find out. And that's really the big reason for that and us creating the New York chapter, because, you know, New York is for lack of a term, it is a hub for, you know, America and the multiculturalism of the country. It's here in New York. You'll find cats all over the place from all different parts of the country.
Yes.
So we started up, and we had an event in, I want to say, November, where we had a discussion panel with N.K. Jemisin and Fenderson Clark on their works and their pieces of their writing, and how that affects the whole idea of the African presence or the Black presence within the genre of fiction, right? And Fenderson Clark, being from the Caribbean, from Trinidad, and he's writing, you know, steampunk and fantasy. That's something a lot of people had no idea that was even, you know, happening as an imagination. So basically, yeah, that's really what that is, the New York chapter. So please, anybody, feel free, go online, sign up. We'll, you know, keep you informed about the stuff going on in New York or all over the country. But it does deal with, a lot of it does deal with the African diaspora, right?
And I do want to say they've been nice enough to plug me every once in a while, so that, that's been very nice.
Well, yeah, we plug you in, and, you know, out of Mark's books and horror stuff, I usually like to submit. I'm the guy in charge of it, so I got to plug you guys, because, except, you know, you're Polynesian, but that's okay, because, you know, you go up anyway, so,
Dick!
But, you know, you guys have great pieces. I mean, both of you are horror aficionados, for lack of a better term, on my side of these. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when I'm talking about horror, I want to come to these cats to find out what the deal is, right? I know you have a horror library. Mark has a horror library, and Steve has horror novels, right? And it's one of those things. I mean, and these are cats before Get Out.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, but that's pretty much the push of the New York chapter of State Black Science Fiction. That's the thing.
Thank you. Yeah, I figured this is a good place to talk about that.
Yeah. Anybody listening, please feel free. Come on down.
This is Nerd Central in Brooklyn, baby. So, you know, we gotta represent.
Bring it.
And speaking of...
Oh,
actually, there's no subtle segue for that, so fuck it. let's just jump into something here. Iron Fist.
Marvel's
the latest
American Psycho.
I was more going to name it A Sweat Hog Becomes a Kung Fu Master, but...
did everybody see it, Brian?
No.
No.
I heard of that.
I've seen it. I've seen every episode.
Shall I kick this?
Please.
Oh, you know,
can I kick it? Yes, you can.
Actually, yeah. Okay, so...
No pun intended.
The main... All right, let's just... The main problem.
Let's just rip the band-aid off.
The main problem for me is the fight choreography.
Okay.
It's sad that one of the choreographers is a guy from The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that the person that they chose to play Iron Fist never took a dance lesson in his life.
It was a Finn. His name was a...
Or he's been stressed a lot because he's not relaxed when he fights. And the fights look more like dances than they do actual fight. I mean, I know it's movie kung fu, but there's an element of real kung fu in that when you're taught how to do this.
There's a fluidity.
And there isn't any. And it's not like to the level of Daredevil. And
right.
And even Luke Cage, you know, they just seem to, he just seems to struggle with that. And then just the plot and the story structure all the way across the board is just...
May I just...
Yes, please do.
Do you remember Killer Elite with James Caan?
Yes.
That, nobody mind, from the 70s, if anybody, that's what the choreographed fight seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad. And Killer Elite, the fight, the martial arts were so bad that they actually had to do it in slow motion. because they, you know, because it looks so bad. He's like, you know what? The only way to clean this up is to do some more. And Iron Fist New World is like, you know what? We'll just let it fly.
Yeah.
It was like watching Jim Cotton.
Oh,
yeah, I watched Jim Cotton.
Oh,
for lack of a better word. I definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
But Jim, Cotter.
Wow.
Oh, if people could just see Alex. Wow. Speaking of Fosse.
Oh.
Don't leave
you. It should have been Fosse.
It should have been. That actually might have enhanced it.
Yeah, that entire extra from all that jazz should have actually been. They would have done
like,
that.
Once again with feeling bitches. Yeah. I want to say, like I said, I found him just a little too much, you know.
Finn?
Well, yeah, Finn, yeah. I mean, you know, just seems like a nice guy to have a beer with, but like George Bush, and, you know, he doesn't necessarily need to be president. You know, like that.
No, exactly.
You know, yeah, that's basically it. I mean, yeah, the fight choreography. I mean, and you would almost suspect Netflix to be a little more thoughtful about that, just because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, forget the Marvel superhero stuff. Let's talk about Marco Polo and 100 Eyes for a second.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
That,
yeah.
You're like, your bar is already here, not even because of superhero shit.
Right, yeah.
But because of 100 Eyes.
100 Eyes, Wu-Tang Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then you give us, you know,
Finish.
Vinny Bottarino as a kung fu master.
He had the coolest Nordic afro ever.
Yeah, I don't even know. The hair bothered me. And I don't mean to be that guy, but the hair bothered me.
You know, black dudes can get that kind of afro with like a lot of perm and
we could, right.
Right? A lot of.
Hashtag Al Sharpton in the 80s.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah. It can be
hashtag
done.
Hashtag
but Al Sharpton has an excuse. James Brown's his godfather.
Right.
You know, right.
What's Danny's excuse?
Right. Well,
my parents died, so my hair curled up. In the Himalayas.
In the Himalayas. In the Himalayas.
I'm not even going to go there with that.
Oh, wait. I got to go with
there's a salon somewhere in the Himalayas, apparently.
Real talk. Mm-hmm. After watching that whole, you know, from last night to this morning, Kunlun is the worst monk monastery kung fu space ever. Danny Rand is so, like, he ain't even sent it. He got one iron fist.
That's true.
Yeah,
because
the left one is used one because there's no ladies there, so I don't know.
But all right, and I don't.
But
and
one iron fist. I mean, come on, really? You can't even.
But is that because he, in the words of Yoda,
did not complete the training?
Is that
you know what? Yeah,
clearly
he didn't complete the training because
right.
He broke it out.
He became
left.
The Iron Fist. There was no
so
way he had to finish
wait,
the training.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is great. This is yes. You killed the dragon. Your training should be motherfucking finished.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to cave.
Mm.
You know what?
Maybe it's like the last dragon.
You know what? The Hobbit. If you know, they can kill a dragon, motherfucker's good. Right? Bard killed the dragon, he's good. He, you know, he a master. People come up to him like, you're the master now.
I mean, I guess if you look at maybe it's like the last dragon. You know, now that he got the glow, there's no more training.
Wait,
no more training.
Even the last dragon had better martial arts than
right.
Even the last dragon. Had better martial arts.
And that was brought to you by Barry Gordy.
Yes, yes.
And Afro Sheen.
Yes, Clarence Williams III. Right? 7 foot tall basketball player, you know nothing about martial arts, and he still looked better than
so what? What's the prognosis for the future of the Iron Fist series? My thought is that they just kind of skip over everything else and then just bring back Luke Cage or whatever and just kind of throw him in the mix.
I really feel like what they did with this is that they rushed it so that they could get the Defenders done.
That's, yeah.
I think the ideology was, I think what my hope is that he's going to do more in the Defenders than he did in this. This was just like, let's just get Iron Fist out of the way so we can get to the Defenders. And then once he's there, we can do more with him. Because here's the thing. If we were going off of sheer, they were never going to do the Defenders, and this was going to be like a solo, like much like the other show, like the other shows.
Right.
My thought process would be, based on the fans' reaction to him, that the second season would start out with them killing him off and bringing in somebody else to be the new Iron Fist.
To appease
the fans.
I'm into that.
So
I'll sign up for that. Because he can't find Kung Lun no more.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's
not even on Expedia.com.
Not on Expedia.
Anyway.
Yeah, right, final episode.
Alright, so Iron Fist left us a little dissatisfied. Let's talk about something that I know you two at least are happy with, and that would be Kong Skull Island.
I will have to say that I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, originally I was disappointed because I thought this was going to be pre-King Kong. The
1940s, like the 30s.
I thought this was going to be about the guys who actually drew the map.
Right.
But I mean, for what it was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed
it.
I was actually playing it when I first saw the trailers. I was like, oh, we're going back into Vietnam stuff now, you know, killer stuff. And Samuel Jackson was ready to go, I'm tired of these motherfucking apes on this motherfucking, but that isn't what you got, actually. You got, you had a character who was very upset that they lost the war, which is the usual thing when you, I guess, get the hot idea of the Vietnam era is one soldier who's actually like, or a leader like, all these people lost their lives, and for what? I'm not going out like that. You have that kind of character. And you have the mercenary who's, who's just trying to get shit done. Then you have a Pearl's Prize winning reporter, photographer. You got all these characters, and the beautiful thing of the idea that within the first 30, 15 minutes, you see the monster.
Right.
You don't have to actually wait that long to see. Spoiler alert, Khan blows shit up.
Right.
Yeah, you get to go like, oh, that's why he's king. And that's what I came to see.
Yeah.
He's gonna give it to you.
I'm saying, I stood in front of my team going, strong like King Kong, I bust caps. He started doing some Wu-Tang shit. Started flexing in the mirror and shit, like, oh yeah.
Because the Peter Jackson version, it was about 45 minutes before we saw it.
Yeah, they did a lot of filler.
Right.
And they did a setup for who the character is real fast.
And then still, to me, the best part of that film was Skull Island. Everything, once he started skating on ice in Central Park, they completely lost it. I was done after that.
I was mad at that.
And then it took another hour to shoot him off the top of it.
Real talk, gentlemen, after the fight scene with the three T-Rexes, I fell asleep.
No shit.
Yeah, I ain't fell asleep because I was born. I fell asleep because I was exhausted. There was a lot that went on. There was a stampede. There was insects all over my ass.
That's funny because I was like,
oh my God, what else is next?
Like, I couldn't get, like, it took me a while to get through Inception because after a while, and of course I'm watching shit like at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So, like, with Inception, like, there were a couple of times, like, I would start watching and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, this. And then gunk, and then I'm done.
I mean,
I literally had to do like, I was like, you know what, I need to see this fucking movie. And I literally had to brew a pot of coffee and sit in front of the TV. Alright, we're going to try this again.
It was so high octane, you can't help it. Like, I got the itis.
But that's, I had the same thing with Blade 2.
Oh,
really? He got into one more fight. By the time he had the fight in the sewer, I felt like I had my ass kicked. I'm like, this is like ridiculous.
That's true. That was nonstop.
How many of these guys are going to be? It's like fighting the crazy 88s.
Yeah.
At some point, you're like,
you start throwing out the bottom of Centrum. Start throwing out the bottom of Centrum vitamins from that.
Like,
this is too much.
So for the audience, we'll definitely say that Kong, if they haven't already seen it, is definitely worth their time.
It sounds like most
of you have already seen it, though. I guess.
Especially what happens after the credits.
That's the big
reveal of who's coming next.
Very nice.
And I'm really hoping they answer the question. Spoiler alert. Why the hell is a giant moth called Angels?
I think we've been trying to figure that out.
Well,
giant.
I guess you're dry cleaning.
Next up, Mothra versus George Jefferson.
And don't forget
Florence.
Oh my God.
Wow, Mr. J, that moth is ugly in a gill.
Oh my God.
Fucking up George Jefferson's life. Oh my God. Wow. So speaking of giant monsters, I saw a trailer for this movie Colossal. Anne Hathaway somehow, if I understand this correctly, she somehow bonded with a giant lizard-like creature that's stomping through Korea.
Yeah.
As a premise, how do we feel about that? And mind you, I always have issue with these movies in general because, I mean, we're talking about a 100-foot monster that somehow cares what people are doing. To me, that's kind of like, I walk in the apartment, there's a burglar, me and the burglar start scrapping it out, and then all of a sudden I'm like, yo, but wait, you can't be touching on my spiders, man. You can't be stepping on my spiders, man. What the fuck? Yeah, not exactly the priority. But anyway, how do you feel about the premise of Colossal?
I guess there's part of me that just doesn't want to know how she's connected to this stupid thing. Because the premise of a monster movie, these things, they either come from the sea or they were hiding or sleeping somewhere in some mountain and somebody woke them up.
Right.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around how an average Joe woke up one morning and then this thing at the same time woke up too and decided to
what? Maybe she's some Kunlun.
I can't work with this guy.
Too bad, because you got another half hour.
Worst monster ever.
I don't know. I mean, it seems a little, even for a movie, it seems far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like it wants to take itself seriously, but then be a monster movie at the same time. And I don't know.
Because if I read correctly, it seems like it was got a lot of love at Sundance. So, but that's probably just
surprised
by
Sundance.
If you and I had done that, people would be like, "This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life."
Well, first of all, it would have been a monster of Harlem, and it would have been one of us. And then some cop would have figured out, you know what, all I gotta do is shoot this motherfucker. And then a monster goes away. So it would have been a much shorter movie, I wanna say.
What's your assessment? There's nothing with you. You know, the feminine side of me is giggly. The other side of me is kind of like, Zany Black? then there's a third side of me, like, Zany Black people?
In which side? Korea or here? Where she's running around?
In here.
That looks, so far, that would look to be a negative Ghost Rider.
Yes. Then that's the other. Then there's only two sides of me. That's
okay. Well, she's saying.
It's only two out of three at that point. I mean, you know what? Shits and giggles, maybe to impress my girl.
Okay.
Maybe to teach my stepson a lesson. Then to see movies.
Yeah.
As a
question.
These are interesting ways that you are mitigating.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Whatever works. Let's talk about trailers that you two probably care more about than Colossal. Justice League, first of all.
Yes,
a new baby.
The official Justice League trailer.
Are we impressed? Are we happy? How are we feeling?
Yes. It's something to go see. Yes.
Okay.
No, you know what? Here's the thing. I've gotten to a point now.
Mark has apparently given up on
right?
I see you.
Well, wait now.
My thing is this: I'm at a point now where I've completely divorced myself from the cinematic versions of the cinematic worlds from the comic world.
Okay.
And I go purely to see this as entertainment.
Sure.
It looks like it's just a really good, fun movie.
As it should be.
I really don't care about the history behind it, who's directing it, how, you know, it's the same thing I felt about Batman versus Superman. I mean, I went into that not taking that seriously. Mm. There were fan people who took that way too seriously, like literally like somebody.
Oh, true.
Somebody taking your pension from you.
Very true, exactly.
And it was like
economic collapse, seriously.
Like,
yeah,
cats were thoroughly upset.
Thoroughly upset. I mean, you know,
but...
I saw the trailer. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, they did get a little criticism over being overly dark. Now, Superman's dark. Now, this is happening.
Right, yeah,
like
yeah,
that
so
kind of thing. So are we thinking that they heard that criticism and they're pulling back?
Well, the tone is still kind of, you know.
Well, yeah,
Cyborg,
granted, you still have to
Cyborg
take the villain seriously
right.
and save the world.
Right. But, I mean, Cyborg looks scary as hell.
Yes.
and you know, we all seen Jason Momoa as Aquaman, and you know, you're like, wow, what happened in the sea, man? What, it's the ocean.
Well, it wasn't gentrification, I can tell
you.
No,
I'm saying, like, you can go to Hawaii if you want, you live in the ocean. Why are you mad like that?
Well, he's probably mad because of fracking.
Fracking.
Hashtag Keystone, baby. He's probably ready to scrap just over that shit.
True. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, true. But everybody, I'm the only, even the Flash seems a little.
Yeah, he's not the.
He's not the WB,
no,
the cartoon animated Flash. He's
not the animated Flash. He's not the
CW Flash.
CW Flash.
No.
This is a different Flash.
A different Flash.
That's
right.
Gotten really soap opera-y, by the way. Just on the side note.
For me, you know.
But I, you know, my thing is this. I mean, this is a dark time. There's some bad stuff going on. I'm just the whole.
You mean in the real world?
Well. In their world as well.
Yes.
Okay.
So I mean, for me, the whole ideology of the superhero, long gone are the days where we have to keep looking at superheroes living in glass cities that, you know, the sun shines and every so often some crazed fool comes running through there and they have to take care of them.
Right.
I mean, these are, you know, whatever's coming if we clear on Omega. Then Omega sign from Batman versus Superman, whatever is coming is evil and dark.
Right.
And so you are going to have to stoop to that level to fight, you know.
I understand what you're saying. And it shows in the cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, like the palette, the visual palette of it.
Right.
That's no different, though, from Marvel when you have the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
You have a giant, you know, cyborg whale coming out of a hole in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
That's some scary shit.
Yeah.
But you see, the palette was never compromised in such a manner that made it overly grim. You know what I mean? There was always kind of like, you always felt a spark of hope someplace, somewhere. When you
but I think
the Marvel
superheroes are different kind of superheroes.
Oh, no, they are. But,
they're, I mean,
to an extent where...
The thing is, if you look at Batman is very much rooted into the cesspool of that city.
Right. It's more noir.
And the ideology of, you know, as opposed to... Who would it be his Marvel equivalent?
Moon Knight or Daredevil.
Okay. But more Daredevil.
Well, actually, in terms of just real research, Moon Knight has always been considered very much the same as, because he's a rich guy who has mental problems, and has gadgets, and he runs through the streets at night in a cape and a cowl and everything like that. But in terms of just the feel of it's Daredevil. It's more noir than anything else. But then you have, the Flash, and then you have Aquaman. And you have Wonder Woman, who are very different in terms of, I guess, the theater that they perform in, or that they do their dues. But it is dark.
I mean, I don't mind dark. I love watching. I think because it reflects the world that they're from.
They're living in.
They you know, much like The Crow.
It's
not a clean place.
No.
And I think that's one of the, I think because comic books for so long are so filled with all of this color, people have gotten, and see, interesting enough, this was the problem with the Batman that Joel Schumacher did.
Oh God.
When Joel Schumacher took over for Batman, he literally said, what I was trying to make was a living comic book.
Okay.
And if you think about, when I first heard him say that, I was like, this guy's an idiot. And then I thought about it, I was like, well, no, because the comic book is filled with all of that. The neon colors, the lights and everything.
Right.
But that doesn't transfer well in a film.
No.
So,
because Marvel was able to do something with that.
Dick Tracy.
It was too saturated.
There's no way I'd be afraid of a guy in a yellow raincoat. And a talking watch.
Except if you're in Central Park.
The square shoulders and
then I'm terrified.
But Central Park?
Yeah.
Or if it's Carmen San Diego.
Her brother Carlos.
Carlos on the other hand.
Yeah, bumper.
he's one of them teardrop dudes, That's what Carlos says.
Carlos wearing yellow
tape. Like, you know where Carlos is. Carlos is in lockup.
Yeah.
That's what Carlos is.
Carlos knows.
Yeah. Fucking Carlos. Jesus.
Actually, come to think of it, real quick, going back to Iron Fist. Everybody in Iron Fist in New York were assholes.
Yeah, I had a problem with that.
There's only one person who wasn't, and he was like the homeless dude who died because he overdosed.
Yes.
Everybody else was just total.
I had never,
like, wow. Anybody just to.
But
hey,
I think,
good morning. How you doing?
Because I think the whole idea was supposed to be Iron Fist was supposed to be so zen that everything else around him had to be.
So asshole?
Yes.
So, by that rationale, if you're zen, then you attract assholes?
But you see them more than you would.
Really?
Well, that's fucked up.
That is fucked up. I don't want to be zen. Give me a beer. I want to be an asshole too.
That's defense is offense. All right, so real quick, one other thing I know Kirk's excited about, American Gods.
American Gods. Wow. 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 All right, hold on. Real quick. So,
Jazz hands.
So, I did some little bit of research. So, Brian Fuller, I think directing, or one of the showrunners, was, he did Hannibal.
Yes.
For NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And after watching,
I love it personally. I don't know how everybody else felt about it.
I dug Hannibal a lot.
Yes.
And after seeing the trailers and how much strange and surreal imagery that, it's coming out of this, I'm really excited. I'm even reading the books now. So I'm reading the books just to get, up on it. And I don't know what else to say, but it was like, wow. American Gods.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to subscribe to Stars now.
Nice.
Or keep doing other things.
All right. Kirk is going into the wallet, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God. All right. So now that we've talked about all this dark stuff, we're going to talk about the feel good dad daughter buddy film of the year. And that would be Logan.
Oh my God.
What? What did I do?
I curled up after seeing that movie.
without overly spoiling the film, I will say simply that this was probably the best of the solo Wolverine movies by a mile.
Yeah.
Yep. A mile.
Close on. Close on.
Nice surprise throwing Caliban
mm-hmm.
of old school Marvel
yes.
fame
mm-hmm.
up in the mix. The little, the young lady playing that portrays X-23,
wow.
Daphne Keen, I believe is her name. Magnificent.
Yes.
Like that. That's someone that has a bright future ahead of
yes.
her. Holy. And I mean, honestly, the fighting was just like I've never watched two people kill a whole bunch of other people and actually found it touching. Like, I was like, oh.
You found it touching?
I did.
Oh, God.
But, you know, I'm a lunatic. I mean, let's get past that. But I actually, like, look at the two. This is father-daughter bonding. This is she's like, he's killing the first
dude. Right now, Mark thinks to himself, like, I'm so glad there wasn't that much more blood in my plane.
Well, they're you can always do a reboot, but I mean, you know, it was like wow, and not so much a spoiler, but I definitely need to watch Shane again after after that.
You know what? The scene.
Yeah.
One of the scenes. All right. I know you guys are gonna hate it, but courtesy of South Park, Starving Marvin goes out of space. This spoiler is going to be full of Mark Wahlberg. So the idea of Mark Wahlberg finding and running into his own Mark Wahlberg and then doing the Mark Wahlberg with the other Mark Wahlberg was fabulous with this Mark Wahlberg. And the running Marklar of
people that saw the movie are applauding. I think they're following along, or they're being really fucking patriotic.
I'm just saying. It's like the theme of Marklar, understanding that, you know, the Marklar that he does to other Marklars, it affects Marklar in such a manner that Marklar has to really, you know, it fucks Marklar up. And Marklar can't. You know, it really starts at the beginning of the movie. You understand that Marco is fucked up because Marco has done some Marcos.
And the fucked up thing is, I actually do kind of understand this, which probably means I need to be institutionalized, but...
No, good Marco are fun.
What the smurf is going on?
This
is
right. Logan was a big surprise for me. I didn't think I was going to like the movie at all. I didn't like any of the other Wolverines beforehand. And this one really was...
Yeah, the others were very problematic. Even as much as... Because I wanted to like the one that they set in Japan. Because I actually own those particular books.
Okay, right.
So I was like, oh, okay. Get down. Silver Samurai and all that other stuff. I was like... I went to the theater stoked. And was kind of disappointed, but
you should have known after the Deadpool symbiote in the first movie. You should have known it was going to be a bad situation.
But they redeemed themselves. They definitely redeemed themselves. And dare I say, part of the reason that they were able to redeem themselves is because Deadpool proved that you can do an R-rated superhero movie
and be
successful.
Yes.
That was a huge thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully somebody comes to their senses and redoes Spawn. Just the thought there. Just chucking it out there into the universe. And then,
I mean, they have attempted over the years to do R-rated superhero.
Yeah, they do. There's quite a few.
I don't know.
Like the Punisher flicks.
Punisher or
Blade.
Successful ones. Why do I like it? Wasn't the Crow?
No, Crow.
Crow was PG-13?
Yeah.
No. I'm thinking of that awful second one.
Rated B for really bad. Yeah, that was bad.
I thought it was T for trash.
One or the other. They couldn't make up their minds.
No.
All right, folks. I'm glad you're all here.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
So one thing that the regular listeners of this podcast really enjoyed, and we figured we would try to do that with an audience, is something that we call facts, alternative facts.
Yeah.
Obviously inspired by our piece of shit Secretary of Education.
There you go.
Facts, alternative facts kind of works like this. Each of the three of us is going to state three things. Two of those things will be true. One of those things is an alternative fact. So. So what'll happen after the facts and alternative fact are stated, we all get a guess. You as the audience, you guys get a guess. And we will commence on this right now. So ladies and gentlemen, this is facts, alternative facts. Kirk, you're up.
Okay.
He doesn't know himself.
All right, yeah.
You want facts on alternative facts? Right?
It's an hour show.
All right, last time we wrote it down on a piece of paper. All right. I want to go to Ireland so bad. Back alternative. Oh, all three of them?
All three.
Just do all three.
Jason Momoa is my spirit animal. Don't make that face. Mark, don't make that face. I'm trying to do it. And cicadas terrify me.
Okay. Mark.
Last time we did this, it was a totally different
thing. Yeah. Mark. Which one do you think is the alternative fact?
The alternative fact? Cicadas terrify.
You know, I'll go with that too. Audience, how do you feel?
Cicadas.
Ireland.
Ireland.
Oh, we got
cicadas. You can't pronounce it. Cicadas. You can't pronounce it. If you pronounce his name correctly, and maybe we'll think it's for
real. How do you pronounce his name?
Momoa. You said Momoa.
I've been drinking.
So have I.
I've been drinking.
Since 8 o'clock this
morning. I've been drinking.
Nine.
I've been drinking. All right, Kirk.
Oh, the alternative fact is number one.
Oh.
Wow. Nice. One lady in the audience wins absolutely nothing by guessing correctly that Kirk was lying about going to Ireland. I figured because you're an alcoholic, Ireland would be a good fit, but
well, like they don't drink a lot in Russia.
No, no. Well,
or Italy.
Good
or
point.
Or France.
Or here. For
or
that
here.
Matter.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Good stuff. Mark.
Okay.
Outside of you having lost the will to live, which we know is a fact, not an alternative. Again, man, knock it out.
Okay. So, I own 4 lightsabers that I've built myself. I actually changed my major in college from seminary to filmmaker. And I have a baby girl, which is the alternative fact.
Okay. I'm going to go with number 2 as being the alternative fact.
Number 2, alternative fact.
Audience?
Audience.
No one believes you're into virginity, Kirk. I mean, Mark. So, what's the, are we correct in that assessment?
Made them all.
He
might not have made them all. Yeah,
I
think
he has 4 lightsabers. I
don't know if he's made them all.
You think it's number 1?
I think he's the one you didn't build them.
Okay. The psychic in the purple shirt seems to think it's number 1. But go ahead.
Okay, so the alternative fact is number two.
All right.
I actually did work with a sabersmith for 2 years. Yes, exactly. That's why I'm here.
Was that a scholarship?
Fellowship.
Oh, fellowship.
There's a rainbow.
Rain something.
That is my college.
Yeah. I figured that would have been in the show, first of all. And just to walk through my whole logic process, first of all, I've been in your house. So, you know, I kind of felt like the lightsaber thing might have some validity. So, there you go. Not fooling anybody today there, Mr. Abbott. All right, my turn. Here we go. One, I went to bartending school. Two, I've had voiceover lessons. Three, I've studied a martial art.
Come on, man. Oh, man. It's got to be one because I've tasted your drinks. Your kung fu is good. That's your technique.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with number one. I hear you. And welcome to. It's very, very Bob Barker.
Some of us can do that without the classes. Thank you very much.
Oh, excuse us.
All different. Right, audience. What am I bullshitting about?
Number one. Bartending.
Yeah, let's
agree.
I'll just stick with what Mark said.
Nice lady in the purple.
You got
no looking at my website.
We got a one over here. We got a one over here also.
I'm
going
to do it naturally.
Wow. Called out on my bullshit. The answer is, in fact, number two. I have not actually had.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Training. I am actually going to be studying with Valerie Smaldone in June.
Okay.
But I have not done that.
Wow.
The other stuff I did. I studied kendo.
Yeah.
And I, back when TRL first got canceled, you know, I'm
studying bartending.
Yeah, I took the bartending class.
I don't even know who you are, man.
This is coming from Steely Dan over here.
Dude, yeah, don't even get me started on that.
What, Steely Dan is an awesome band.
Well, not saying that. It's they're not. Just that, you know.
That I don't know awesome band music?
Okay, yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, sure. I'm fine. You want to be indignant?
I know what. Don't laugh, Mark. I thought he was also Polynesian. He has a piece around his wrist, man.
I ordered some jewelry from Amazon. And these motherfuckers want to put me in front of a volcano. I mean...
So you're saying Hawaii?
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in Facts Alternative Facts.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
And that will actually end this broadcast. Any last thoughts there, fellas, before we close this out?
Don't see Iron Fist. See Logan. And C-Kong, that's about it. Oh!
Kirk with the cliff notes.
There you go.
For the three ladies who just walked in. Very nice.
I'm excited about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh! Yeah. Very excited, yeah.
That's right. Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, that is a very good call. Yes. Yeah. All right, and that's gonna do it for us. We are Groot! Just kidding, we are Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, and we are closing it out right now. Thank you again. Thank you again to the Way Station.
Thank you, Way Station.
That's our show. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.